so glad to be in front of you again this morning. I always get a joy out of being able to preach the word and share the word with you all. If you've been with me any time, you know that it's been a journey for me to be here in Tulsa, a journey for me to be here in front of you, a journey for me to be at New Joy Fellowship, to be at John 3:16. It's a journey in general. And I've shared several occasions when I've been able to share the word with you that as a message that God's been stirring up and I wanted to share with you for so long. And every time I'd get ready to share it, God said, "Oh, not yet. Oh, not yet." I was like, "Oh, I want to share it right now. I want to share it. I want to share it." But then, last Sunday, I figured out why he kept saying, "Nope, not yet," because God had some things to add to this message. It was not quite done yet. And so last week, as Pastor Forney was sharing, he was inspiring me and he was speaking to me, and I was like, "Oh, that's why you said not yet. Got it. Now it's ready. And now I can share it." I said, "Okay, God." He said, "Yeah, go ahead." I said, "Okay, cool. I'm going to go ahead and do that then. Cool." I'm going to start out in James 1. If you'll flip in your Bibles with me, James chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 2. It says this: "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Now, if that stopped right there, that would not be a very fun word to hear, would it? Just consider it pure joy, and that's it. Deal with it. Consider it pure joy. But there's these beautiful things in the English language called commas. And so, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, comma, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Now, like I said, if it had stopped at the beginning, that would have been a hard pill to swallow. Just to basically, it says deal with it in a roundabout way. But it says to deal with it because of what it produces whenever you persevere, whenever you endure that with pure joy. Like I said, many of you guys, if you've been with me any time, you know, around this time three years ago, God began to take me on a journey that would definitely help me to learn perseverance, to learn a better faith, and to have more joy through what I was going through. 3 years ago, I lost a job. It felt like the world was caving in, and I began to go on this journey. And what I know now, 3 years later, is that this journey that I was going on is actually this journey called life. And this journey just cycles back through this journey every single time. And I'll get to that here in a minute. But this journey cycles through 3 points. I'm going to give those to you in just a minute. But these 3 points in life, and they continue. It's a cycle. It goes through the cycle. You have to decide where you're at on these points and how you're going to react to these points that you're at. Let me explain. Like I said, 3 years ago, God began to take me on a journey. 3 years ago, when I lost my job, I knew right then, 3 years ago, what the outcome was supposed to be. But I was running from it. I knew what the outcome was to be. The outcome was to be leave everything you have right here to have something better for you when you get here. See, by here, the first here was Shawnee. The second here was here in Tulsa. And so the first here I was holding on to. I didn't want to leave that first here because that first here being Shawnee, I was there for 11 years. I had a ministry I was part of. I had a job that I loved. I had a community around me that was supportive. And I thought that that's what God had for me. I thought that's what the best God had for me. And I come to find out that was not. As good as it wasn't the best. But I was holding on to what I thought I wanted and what I thought I needed. And God was like, "Hey, if you would let go of that, I have something even better for you. If you would just listen to me. And so that brings my first point. I was in what I call my Jonah phase at this point in time, my Jonah phase. If you know anything about Jonah, you know that Jonah was disobedient and defiant to God. God told Jonah, "Hey, I want you to go here to Nineveh and I want you to preach the word to these people." And Jonah said, "Yeah, about that. How about not? And so I'm going to go over here and away from where you told me to go. I'm going to go over Tarshish, where I think it's a little easier for me to go do what I need to do." And what God does, "Okay, if you don't want to listen to me and obey me, what I'm going to have to do now, I'm going to have to show you what happens and you don't obey me. I'm going to make the seas roar on that boat that you're on, and it's going to go crazy, and the people that are on that boat with you are going to go crazy, and it's going to be all your fault. I felt this in Shawnee. I felt this in Shawnee. I had my Jonah phase, if you will. I had my Jonah moment. I said, okay, God, I hear you calling me to Tulsa, but I'm not ready to let go of this. Okay, you're not ready to let go of this? Fine. Bam. I'm taking your job away. Okay, God, I understand that. I'm going to go ahead and look for another job. I'm going to stay here in Shawnee. Okay, you keep looking for jobs. I'm not going to give you one because you're not supposed to be here. All right, God, that's cool. So what I'm going to do, no, what you're going to do is you're going to be obedient or you're going to be punished. I said, oh, so that's how that works. Either you're obedient or punished. Like, I didn't already know. You know what I mean? And so I continue to be disobedient, and God continues to punish me. And it's like, okay, fine, I'm going to take a job. Okay, fine, I'm going to take this. I'm going to take that. And I'm like, God, like, I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave Shawnee. He says, okay, fine then. I'll get something for you in Tulsa. If you want to marry this girl, you're going to have to leave Shawnee. Okay, cool. You know what? I think I'm ready to leave Shawnee now. That's what's going to happen. If that's what it is, okay, I'm going to leave Shawnee now. But the problem is, before all that, I was disobedient. And like, much like Jonah, God was trying to usher me and move me towards Tulsa. But I was disobedient, and that disobedience, I was being dealt with and punished at the time. Looking back on it, it's like, man, no wonder you were losing jobs, getting sick, having all these complications and problems, is because you were not where you were supposed to be. And all of us have a Jonah moment at some point in our lives. But it cycles back. The problem is we keep going through these cycles because we're an imperfect people. So you might be in a different space and you're like, oh, I'm doing so great. But it's like your Jonah moment's coming if you don't recognize it. But if you do recognize it, you can say, oh, I'm in my Jonah moment. I get it, God. You're calling me here. I'm going to stop running. So if I had recognized that was my Jonah moment at the time, I would have gone through so much punishment from being disobedient. I could be, oh, this is a Jonah moment. You're running away from what God's called you for. Why don't you go to where God's called you to? And so when you're in your Jonah moment, you got to realize and recognize that and say, okay, Jonah moment, stop running. Got it. It's that simple. But also, even in that Jonah moment, you got to be thankful. You got to be thankful and appreciative of God for what he's taking you through. Because even though I was being punished at that time, I can say now I'm thankful for what I went through in that Jonah moment, because it grew me and it shaped me and molded me into a better follower, a better believer of Jesus Christ today that stands before you because of what I went through. Now, at the time, was it fun? Not even a little bit. Not even, I tell you right now, I can honestly tell you in that time, it sucked, for lack of a better term. It did. I was going through some tough times, some hard times. Luckily, there were people who were loving me and praying me through it. But man, it was a dark time for me. It was a time where I would say depression was definitely high on the radar. It was a time where I was definitely down. I was down. I was hurt. But luckily, praise God, I wasn't out, because God was with me the whole time through all that stuff. But I will say I can appreciate now then what happened. It's a lot like with your parents. You know, you have parents, and as you guys know, you guys who were parents and you guys who had parents growing up, either you said this or you heard this, I'm doing this for your good. This is hurting me more than it's hurting you. Now, I didn't always believe that with my pops, because sometimes I'm like, hey, man, if this hurts you, what hurts me? That's got to hurt a lot, because this hurts, brother. I'm not going to lie. I go wrong. Like, I earned this whooping, but dang, like, ease up a little bit, bro. You know, if it hurts you more than it hurts me. But also, looking back, I can say that every single punishment I got back in those days, I earned, number one. But number two, they were for my good, because they shaped me and they molded me into who I am today. Same thing with the Lord. The Lord is shaping me and molding me, and he'll shape you and mold you through these things. Some things you may not like, they may hurt, they may not feel good, they may feel uncomfortable, but God is shaping you and molding you through these things and in your Jonah phase. So if you're in your Jonah phase right now, hold on. Just recognize it. Like, oh, maybe he's heard it. Like, oh, I am my Jonah phase. I'm running away from something God's called me to do. I probably should stop doing that. You probably should. It was almost like a light flipped on whenever it happened to me. I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, I've been hearing it the whole time. I knew I was supposed to be in Tulsa. But it's like one day I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to go to Tulsa. And I kid you not, stuff began to change almost instantly for me. The moment I was obedient to the Lord. And the same thing will happen to you the moment that you're obedient to the Lord. So that's my first phase. My first phase was my Jonah phase. Like I said, if you don't know the story of Jonah, go read Jonah 1. And it's a story that many of us have been through before, because we've all been disobedient and probably run from something that God's called us to do. So Jonah 1, read that and if you're in your Jonah phase. Now, the second phase, this phase that a lot of people live in, this is the phase that I feel like most of us, especially in this room who call ourselves believers, live in this next phase. This next phase is my Peter phase. If we go to Matthew, it's chapter 14, this is verse 22. I'm going to spend a pretty good amount of time here at this point. But it's Matthew 14. This is verse 22. It's a story we all know pretty well. This is about Peter and him walking on the water. And it says this: immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus simply says, "Come." Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. When he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" Now, this Peter phase, I feel like we all live in this phase almost always for most of our lives. Cause it's that phase of, okay, I understand. Okay, I believe. Okay, I get it. But it's okay, I understand. Okay, I believe. I see what you're saying. But that's where Peter was at. Peter believed in Jesus. He walked with him. Right before this happened, right before they got into the boat, the disciples had just seen Jesus feed the 5,000 with two fish and 5 loaves of bread. He just saw that. So they've seen him do miracles. They know, they've seen it with their own eyes and they believe. But, and if those guys can doubt Jesus, man, how easy for us to doubt Jesus. We've seen and we believe, but those guys physically walked with this man, Jesus, and saw him do these miracles, and they still had a but in their lives. We've seen God do miracles in our lives, and we've walked with Jesus, but we have many buts in our lives. When I was in my Jonah phase, and coming out of my Jonah phase, I still had many buts in my life. Here we got a little story. And this is what happens. When I was, I first started out as a youth worker, I had a youth pastor that I was learning underneath. We'd go to their house and we'd play games on Sunday nights for our discipleship time. We'd play some board games. And we'd have a Bible study. Now, I am a big brother. Much bigger than was I whenever I started youth working. And so we were playing board games at this table, and we were playing one day, sitting in a chair like you normally do, having a good time with these board games. And then if you are any considerable size yourself, like myself, you know that chairs are not always the safest place for us to be at. Now, this particular chair was made of wood, and it was a little bit of an older chair. Having a good time playing this game. It's called Quelf. You do some silly things, and it's a good time. And then I feel the shift. And if you've ever felt this shift as a big person, you know what I'm talking about. Because this shift happens, and all of a sudden, a weight shift happens, and all of a sudden, you're on the ground. Now, what happened with me was the weight shift happened. I hear this creak, and I thought to myself, that didn't sound good. And then the weight shift happens, and I'm like, yep. I definitely don't feel that chair no more. It's like one of those cartoons, like Wile E. Coyote, who runs off the cliff and is, then he falls. That's what it felt like for me. I felt it was no chair, nothing but air. And I was like, yeah, we going down. And so I crashed through this chair, and then the youth pastor's wife, she goes, "Oh my gosh, are you okay?" I'm like, yeah, everybody's laughing. I'm laughing. She's like, "I meant to tell you not to sit in that chair because it's broken." And I thought to myself, okay, so now I can't trust you or this chair. Got it. And so, right then and there, my faith wavered. I didn't have faith in chairs anyway, especially wood chairs, but my faith wavered in chairs from that point on. You know, I'd actually make sure I, you know, ease on down when I sat down. I didn't want to break no more chairs, right? So now fast forward a couple months later, I wake up with this big sty in my eye. Now I've never had a sty before. So I'm dramatic. In my mind, I'm dying. That's it. This is it. Okay. This sty is happening. My head's going to explode. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm dying. Obviously I was okay because here I am before you with a sty. But I go to the doctor, and I'm like, hey, yo, the sty, yada, yada, yada. Like, yeah, you're being dramatic. Just hold on. And so, when I go back to the doctor, like, okay, now, you come on back here and sit down. We're going to examine you. Hop up here and sit down. And I was like, okay, we'll be right back. I said, okay, cool. I look at this table. I'm like, hold up. I just remember me and Wood are beefing. So I probably shouldn't sit on that table. And I kind of get like the test. I hear that little crack, you know, nah. So I'm sitting on this metal chair over here and we're going to be cool. And so doctor comes in. He's like, okay, Mr. Savage, hop up here. I'm like, no, sir. Listen, I know what happens when I sit on wood and me and Wood are beefing. I have no faith left in Wood. Okay, so we're not going to do that. He goes, no, this is a good table. It's old. It's been through some stuff. It'll hold you up. I said, all right, brother, we're going to do this. So I get up there, you know, I have to lift one leg to put that one up there. And I'm like, oh, gosh, here we go. And I sat down and we hit that and hear that. And we both look at each other like, so are we doing this? Anyways, I got up there and the table didn't break, it held. But all I have to say is I'd lost the faith in that chair and wood and everything else because it had let me down. I cannot lose faith in Jesus Christ because he's never let me down. I've never been there with him. I've never been to a point in my life where I can say, or I've met anybody that can say that Jesus Christ let them down. Maybe a man who believed in Jesus let you down, but Jesus Christ himself has never, ever let you down. And so when we're in this Peter phase, the problem with this Peter phase is we've seen Jesus do these miracles, and he's never let us down, so why do we doubt him? Why do we doubt him? What did Jesus say to Peter whenever he asked him to get out of the boat? He said, come. Simple, come. What did Jesus say to me about leaving Shawnee? Just go. Go. It's simple. Don't worry about where you're going to live. Don't worry. Because my butts were, where am I going to live? What's my job? My car's breaking down. I had so many butts. And as soon as I surrendered to move to Tulsa, every single one of the butts was answered. I surrendered to move to Tulsa the next day. Hey, I have this car that was going to drag across the scales and scrap. I'll sell it to you for $200. Done deal. I'll take that. All I do is buy a battery. The car cost me $250. I drove it for a year before it broke down. With no other repairs on it. No other repairs on it. But then when it broke down, for $250, I drove that car for a year. Got me to Tulsa. Got me to start my job at John 3:16. I drove it back and forth at that job until the wheels fell off. And once again, because I surrendered. What job am I going to work? I have no job. Salvation Army has a job for me in Sepulpa. That fell through. So I'm thinking to myself, oh, see, God, see, you let me down. False. One day I'm talking with my mother-in-love. I don't want to say mother-in-law. Mother-in-law in the living room. And we're talking about, you know, my job search. And we're going back and forth. We're just sharing our hearts. And, yeah, this is a job at John 3:16. But like, I know I'm supposed to be at New Joy Fellowship. I'm supposed to be there and doing the ministry. So I don't want to get a job at a church that's going to take me away from that. She goes, oh, no, John 3:16 is different. You work Monday through Friday doing that ministry and it doesn't take away from church at all. I said, word. So, I go and I apply for the job and she happens to know a guy who had applied for the job and, they talked to Brian and I get an interview almost, I'm talking about the next day, I got an interview and within 2 weeks I was hired at John 3:16. It was that fast. That was another butt. They're like, well, where am I going to live? You know, I saw this house that I really liked in Shawnee or in Tulsa. I want to live there, but man, that was a year ago. Surely someone's got to have the house by now. No, man, no, sir. That house was ready to go. As soon as I got my job, I saved up a couple of paychecks. We put down a deposit, and I was able to move into that house. And I was just like, all those butts were answered with a little bit of faith. And so as we were in this Peter phase, maybe you're in your Peter phase right now. Okay, God, I believe. Okay, I'm going to go. But there is no but. There is no but. For lack of a better term, not to be graphic, my grandpa was a very stern and gruff man, and he was a believer in hard work and a believer in, you get what you earn. He said, you never say but, because after but comes a lot of crap. After but comes a lot of crap. That's my grandpa. He said, you either you do or you don't, but there's no but. don't, I'm going to do this, but there's no condition. He said, with Jesus Christ, there's no conditions. Either you love him or you don't. Either you're with him or you're not. Either you're going to follow him or you're not. There is no but. I'm going to follow you, Jesus, but are you going to follow me or you're not? I love you, Lord, but do you love me or you don't? I'm for you, God, but either you're for me or you're not. There's no but. Peter had a but in his life when he came to Jesus. Because you saw, he was walking on the water. It was cool. But here comes the waves. Here comes the wind. Here comes the noise. Here comes the sound. And as soon as he recognized that but, he began to sink. But here's the thing. Even in his doubting, him calling out to Jesus Christ, what does he do? He picks him up and he puts him back into the boat. He says, you little faith, why did you not believe? And you're doubting. Even in your doubting, you can still call to Jesus. Even in your doubting. Even in your Peter phase, call out to Jesus. He's walking with you through that, and he's molding you. In my Peter phase, I saw my faith grow. Because like I said, every single one of those buts was answered. That car, when I tell you that car drove on faith, that car drove on faith. I'm not sure how that car didn't break down. It was a 2000 Rodeo, Isuzu Rodeo. And I don't know how it got back and forth, number one, from Shawnee to Tulsa, back and forth, as much as it did. And I don't know how it lasted a year working at John 3:16 before it gave out. But, man, praise God for it. Praise God for it. Because it got, like I said, it got me to and from and all the way around for a whole year on 250. On 250. I don't know. How I got the job at John 3:16, once again, there were many people in place for that to happen. But how would I have had a conversation with my mother-in-law, in that living room? How would that have happened if it wasn't for God saying, hey, just open your mouth up, start talking. Because I'm sharing my heart, she's sharing her heart, we're both sharing our hearts, and we come to this apex of, oh, John 3:16. I wasn't looking for that job. I had no desire for that job. It's happened to pop up on a Indeed ad, and I looked at it, and I was not even going to apply for it. But man, what a shame that would have been, because God had that job for me. Perfect job, a job that I loved, that I couldn't even imagine not working there and being a part of, and the people I've met through it. So all these buts were answered, even in my Peter phase, through my Peter stage. So my Jonah stage was that I'm fighting, I don't want to go. Then that Peter stage is, okay, I'm going, but I'm going to go reluctantly. And that's not good either. Now, last stage. This is where I've kind of lived the last, I'd say, year and a half. I've lived in this last stage here, about this last year and a half. And this is my Paul stage. Now, reaching Paul stage does not mean that I've figured it all out. Does not mean that I'm perfect. Does not mean that I'm above. It means that what I've come to realize is that I need to be in that Paul stage always. Even whenever I'm going through my Jonah phase, going through my Peter stage, I need to keep that Paul phase right there on the underline. When I say Paul stage, I mean this. And this is Acts chapter 16. This is where we'll close. This is Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 16. It says this. Come on. Oh, it says this. Once we were going to the place of prayer, this is Paul talking, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and he said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped down and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he, when he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. Now, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake the foundations of the prison were shaking. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and then he saw the prison doors open. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved and your household." Now, Paul phase. What happened to Paul? Paul was doing everything correctly. Forget about your Jonah phase and your Peter phase. Sometimes you're doing every single thing right, and guess what? You still get beat down. You still get hit. You still get flogged. You still get persecuted. You still get mocked. These things happen even when you're doing everything quote-unquote right. And even in doing everything right, you might face some severe things. Now, me, I was doing everything wrong in my journey at the beginning. It was everything wrong. But since then, I feel like me and my wife have done everything right. You know, as God's continued to bless our lives, we've been able to do ministry and continue just to share and love on people and grow. I feel like we've been doing everything right. But in this last year and a half, we've also seen some beatdowns. As you guys know, I lost my father back in March. I had to have surgery. I've been diagnosed diabetes. All kind of stuff has happened in the last year and a half. I was like, man, we've been doing everything right now, so why is all this happening now? And it was this scripture that came to me. It's like, yeah, you can be doing everything right, and guess what? You're still going to go through some trials and some tribulations. But, this is a good but. But, as Paul and Silas went through these tribulations, what did they do? They praised. They prayed. They sang hymns. And when they did that, the walls of the jail and the foundation was shook, and it came down, and their chains fell off, and they were free. Wow. Wow. Now, did they run anywhere? No. They were free to do this, to share the gospel. They were not free to run and escape and go to, you know, wherever else. They were free to share the gospel. Because when that jailer came in, he's like, oh, he just knew. Oh, these walls broke down. These chains are gone. Those dudes are out. No. They were right there. They're right there. They said, hey, don't kill yourself, brother. Don't do that. It's cool. We chilling. We still singing hymns. We still praising. You can come with us and praise if you want to, actually. Oh, okay. So what must I do to be saved then? They say, hey, it's real simple. Believe in Jesus Christ. It's real simple. You see, when we get into our Paul phase, we get the opportunity to do just that. Share Jesus Christ. So you have these cycles, like I said, in your life. And they'll cycle every time. They'll continue to cycle. You're going to have many Jonah days where you're like, I don't want to do that, God. But God's like, you better do it. I'm going to have to punish you. Then you have your Peter phase. It's like, okay, God, I know you want me to do that, but I'm going to go reluctantly. There's that but again, that bad but. I'm going to go reluctantly. And my Peter phase is okay, but if you listen to your butts, this is what's going to happen. You're going to sink. You're going to have me come and save you. Or we can just live in that Paul phase. Because the fact of the matter is, in John 16:33, God was very clear. In this world, you will have troubles. That's a promise. In this world, you will have troubles. But praise God for that magical comma again. But take heart, for I've overcome the world. So, we know troubles are coming. So you're going to have that Jonah phase, that Peter phase. You're going to have those. But let's live in the Paul phase. When those troubles come, what's our response? To consider it pure joy is our response. Paul and Silas took pure joy in what they were going through. Because they knew that this trial, this test, was going to grow them and make them better followers and believers of Jesus Christ. Are you going to live in your Paul phase? Are you going to allow that test to grow you and mold you? Or are you going to allow that test to define you? Not only by defining you, you got to almost allow that test to define your God. Because so many times, we're quick to tell God how big our problem is. But we're so slow to tell our problem how big our God is. So slow to tell our problem how big our God is. So that problem that you have, tell how big your God is. Don't tell God about how big your problem is. I'm not saying don't pray to God. Pray to God for guidance, for wisdom, and for teaching. But also let that problem know, hey, my God's big. I understand you're a pretty big problem, but guess what? My God's that much bigger. We got to be faster to do that slow to say, man, so many issues. You know, me and my wife, we've talked many times, like, how we can't complain about anything. The stuff we've been through in the last year and a half, especially in a first year of marriage, we can't complain about anything because God still has us here doing our thing, ministering, and he's provided for us so much. Are there things that we don't like? There are hiccups that happen. There's things that we would rather be different, 100%. Anybody can say that. But when you're living in that Paul phase, the only thing you can say when those things happen is, well, praise God. He's going to get me through it. Praise God, I'm going to grow, I'm going to get stronger, and what's going to happen is this is going to be a testimony. If I had given up in my Jonah phase, this would not be a testimony. It would be like, well, that's terrible. If you give up in your Jonah phase, you won't have a testimony to share with people. But if you endure that Jonah phase, endure that Peter phase, and you live in that Paul phase, man, what a testimony that is to the Lord to be able to say, yeah, I came through that, not under my own power, but under the power of the Holy Spirit with Jesus Christ. And so I thank God so much that I'm here in front of you. Like I said, I thought that was the best that God had for me in Shawnee. It obviously, it was not. You know, I got here, and I have a beautiful church family in New Joy. I got a fantastic job that I love. We've got a couple new cars that God bless us with, a new and an added family. Even more than that, I have a beautiful wife that I love that I get through ministry with. And if I had not let go in Shawnee, I would not be able to experience the greatness that God has for me here. So all to say is, if you're in your Jonah phase, let go. God's got something better for you. If you're in your Peter phase, step out the boat and believe. Have faith. No buts. And if you're living that Paul phase, praise God. Keep doing that. Keep growing. Keep learning. Allowing God to mold you and make you a better follower and believer in him. So as we get ready to close, if you have a prayer need, maybe you're in a Jonah phase right now, and you're like, I need somebody to pray with me to let go of this. We're here. Maybe you're in your Peter phase right now. You're like, I just need a little more faith. We're going to pray together. We're going to get faith together. If you're living your Paul phase and you're going through something, and you're doing all right, but you need somebody to hold you up, that's what we're here for. We're going to hold you up through your Paul phase too if you're going through something. So I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to allow Pastor Forney to take over. But I thank you guys so much for allowing me to be here and share with you and just for listening to what God had to say through me. So, Father God, I thank you so much for this time, this morning that you've given us to be in your house, just to learn and to hear and just to grow from you, Father God. In these different phases of life, I'm praying that you would just be with us, whether we're in our Jonah phase, needing to let go, whether we're in our Peter phase, needing to have a little more faith, whether we're in our Paul phase, Father God, that you would just be there holding us up, help us to get through it. Thank you, Father God, for your salvation that you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ, and for the sacrifice that happened on the cross many years ago. As we continue to worship you, I pray that you just continue to guide us and bless us. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.